chapter 1. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and study it together tonight. And we just ask that your spirit would be our teacher and to show us the treasures that are in these verses that we're going to consider tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to try and conclude our studies of the failures of the second generation of the children of Israel here in the land of Canaan, or if not finish, at least finish what we didn't have time to get to in these verses in Judges chapter 1 last week. We're focusing on the second generation, because the dangers of the third generation that we talked about, the forsaking of the Lord God of their fathers by the third generation, the forsaking of the Lord and serving the gods of Canaan, the attitude of heart in the third generation of feeling let loose and set free from the bands and cords of the law of God. All of these things that we see in the third generation, all this began with the failures of the second generation. And we've been talking about those failures. We've talked about the failure of Judah. We've talked about the failure of Benjamin. In our text tonight, we read, or we're going to read, Lord willing, about the failure of the house of Joseph. Look at verse 22. And the house of Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. It's very important to notice that. And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. I think probably the absolute correct pronunciation of that word is Luz, but it looks like Luz, and I guess we'll just call it that. The house of Joseph went up against Bethel. And the way they began to go up against the city, as we see in verse 23, is that the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now, the word descry is one that we don't hear very often. If you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, you find that it means to make a reconnaissance, to make a search. But what's interesting here is that you really don't even have to look up the word, because as is so often the case, the Spirit of God defines this word describe for us in the very next verse, verse 24. Notice, and the spies. There's the definition of the word descry. Because to descry, to make a reconnaissance, to make a search of a place is to spy. And that's what the house of Joseph is doing. But there's something else that we want to see in this 23rd verse. And it's the last sentence there in parentheses. The house of Joseph is going up against Bethel. And yet, here's the Spirit of God giving us this parenthetical thought about Bethel. Now, the name of the city before was Luz. One of the verses that we ought to keep in mind whenever we're reading and studying in the Old Testament is Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, that's the Old Testament scriptures, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, for our teaching, for our instruction. That's what the word learning means. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so God's plan for the church, as expressed by the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul, is that we be taught and instructed from the Old Testament Scriptures. And one of the things that the Spirit of God wants to teach us and instruct us about is this city. the name of the city of Bethel, and the name of the city before it was Bethel was Luz. Now, why does the Holy Spirit want us to know that? I mentioned to you this morning that I find myself asking that question more and more in my reading here in the Word of God. Why does the Lord tell us that? Why did He give us this extra bit of information? Well, I'd like to suggest two thoughts to you. And both of them have to do with the meaning of the name Luz. In looking at this word, I found two meanings. One of them is almond tree. We're all familiar with almonds. Almonds are sort of the nut du jour of the day, and the nut of the day right now. They're very good for you, supposedly, and you eat them and get all of these benefits. We're familiar with almonds. They grow on a tree, and the part that we eat is the seed of the almond tree. And that seed is contained in a very hard shell. Very difficult shell to get into. And in the immediate context here, Luz may have been a place where there were a large number of almond trees. And so it would follow that this city would be called Almond Tree or Luz. But this name may also give us some insight into this city's primary defense. If you look at the shell that contains the almond, there is no easy entrance into it. There is no easy way to get into the shell in order to get to the seed, the almond that we like to eat. This meaning for the name Luz may suggest that this was a city that had no easy entrance. There was no easy way to get into the city in order to take it and conquer it. This is why the house of Joseph sent spies, so they could search out and find the entrance to the city. And the implication here is that they weren't having any success until these spies saw a man come forth out of the city. And they obviously didn't see the entrance that he came out of. They saw him. They knew that he had come out of the city. And so they come to him and they say to him there in verse 24, "Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy." And the man shows the house of Joseph the entrance. Perhaps it was through a cave. Perhaps it was through some other type of underground passage. Whatever and wherever it was, when this man showed it to the house of Joseph, they were able to crack the defense of Luz, if you will, and they were able to enter into the city and take it. So that's the first meaning of the name Luz, almond tree. The second meaning of this word is different, but it's not unrelated to the first meaning. The second meaning of the name Luz is perverse. Perverse. The word perverse means willfully determined to go against what is right. Willfully determined to go against what is true and good. The word perverse describes someone who is persistent in what is wrong. Someone who turns away from and rejects what is right. This word perverse describes someone who is wicked and corrupt and depraved and disobedient and rebellious and self-willed. So Luz is a description of someone who is hard, just exactly like the shell that covers the seed of the almond tree. What I would like to suggest to you tonight is that in this name, Luz, we see a picture of you and me by nature. That's why the Spirit of God adds this very critical information. That's why He adds this parenthetical sentence in verse 23. Because He wants us to think about what we're looking at in this verse. We're looking at a place with two names. We're looking at a place with two names. One is Bethel. The name Bethel means house of God. The other name is Luz. So here's a place that means house of God, and at the same time means perverse. At the same time means wicked and depraved and disobedient and rebellious and self-willed. What we are looking at in these two names are the two natures of the believer. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have in us this old nature that we're born with. And its name is Luz. It's a nature that is as hard as the shell of an almond. It's a nature that is so hard, the best word to describe it is stubborn and obstinate, as reflected in this word perverse, that means to be willfully determined to go against what is right. It's a nature in us that is persistent in what is wrong. It takes pleasure in doing wrong. It's a nature that turns away from the truth and rejects the truth and rejects what is right. It's a nature that is enmity against God. It's a nature that fears not God. It's a nature that is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This old nature is perfectly described by the name Luz. This is the name of the city that we're looking at here. And we read in this 23rd verse, now the name of the city before was Luz. I want you to notice that word before. It's a very important word. And it's important for two reasons. First of all, it's going to take us back to a place. And the place that it's going to take us back to is Genesis chapter 28. I'd like for you to turn there, if you will. Genesis chapter 28. Because in this chapter, we're going to see this same kind of wording again. The same kind of wording that we see in this parenthetical statement in Judges chapter 1 and verse 23. We're going to see it here. We're going to see it at the time that this place is given a new name, here in Genesis chapter 28. In this chapter, Jacob is on his way to his mother's brother Laban's house. He's been sent there by his father Isaac. He's been sent there by his mother Rebekah to take a wife of one of his daughters, one of Laban's daughters. And the journey can't be made in one day. And as he's on the journey to Haran, he stops to spend the night. And it's here that the Lord appears to Jacob. Look at Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. And he dreamed, that is Jacob, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. Now look at verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And Jacob tells us why he called this place Bethel in verse 17. He says there, this is none other but the house of God. That's what the name Bethel means, the house of God. We mentioned that earlier. And this is where we learn the meaning of the name Bethel. The Spirit of God tells us right here. Just as he gave us the meaning of the word descry, he gives us here in the text the meaning of the name Bethel. This is the place where God appeared to Jacob. This is the place where Jacob met the Lord. And it's at this point that this place gets a new name, Bethel, the house of God. But look at the last part of verse 19. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Notice that when this place gets a new name, Bethel, the Spirit of God immediately in the same place tells us and draws our attention to the first name of this place, Luz. You see, what the Lord is teaching us here is that even though this place got a new name, the old name was still there. Folks, isn't that exactly what happens when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior? Our name, as we are born into this world, is called Luz at the first. Luz at the first. Just as we see in verse 19. And it's like that because Luz is a description of who we are and what we are. Hardened sinners. Closed up tight. We don't want to let the Lord in. We're stubborn and we're wicked and we're disobedient and we're rebellious and we're self-willed sinners against God. But when we see ourselves as God sees us, when we see ourselves as who He says we are and what He says we are. And by the way, that's exactly what happened to Jacob. Look over at Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. I want you to see something here. There's so much in these two names that is just amazing to me. Look at Genesis chapter 48. We come to this chapter. Jacob has come to Egypt, and he's there. And Joseph hears that his father is sick, not doing well. And so Joseph takes his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and he goes to see his father. And when he goes, when Jacob is told that Joseph and his children, when he's told that his son and his grandsons are there, the Bible tells us here in verse 2 that Israel, Jacob, strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. We can envision that. This man had been laying down, but he pulled himself up to sit upon the bed to visit with Joseph and his two sons. Now notice the first thing that Jacob says in verse 3. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Bethel. Doesn't say that, does it? Doesn't say that. And it doesn't say that because that's not where the Lord appeared unto Jacob. Listen to Jacob's testimony. God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz. At Luz. That's important. Because what the Spirit of God is telling us is that God Almighty appeared unto Jacob as he was at the first. He appeared to him as he was in his sin and rebellion and wickedness and self-will. That's where God will ever meet sinners. At Luz. He'll meet them as they are at the first. Those three words at the first. If I could underscore them in your mind. He meets them He meets sinners there at Luz as they are at the first, as they are born into this world in sin and rebellion. You know what the problem is? The problem is getting people to come to Luz. That's the problem. Brother Dan was talking. I hope you read the morning minutes, the morning minute that he puts a tremendous amount of time into that to write it and put it together and send it out. And there's such a blessing. And I think it was last week or maybe the week before in one of the recent morning minutes. He was talking about the problem being getting people lost. The problem with getting people saved is getting them lost. You see, people want to bypass Luz. People want to bypass Luz and go straight to Bethel. You can get people to come to Bethel. You can get people to clean themselves up and put on an outward appearance, put on their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes and put on an outward show, and you can get them to come to Bethel. You can get them to come to the house of God. But an outward appearance and an outward show in Bethel, it won't save you. It won't save you. You've got to come to Luz as you are at the first. At the first. As you're born into this world. You've got to come to Luz, just as Jacob is telling Joseph here. God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan. And there in Luz, when we come to the Lord Jesus, as we are at the first, as we're born into this world in all of our sin and rebellion, and we cry to Him to save us, He saves us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then at that moment, the Lord gives us a new name. And that new name is Bethel, the house of God. When we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, this body of flesh becomes His house, the house of God. When the Lord was telling His disciples in John chapter 14 of the coming Comforter, of the coming Holy Spirit, of the coming Spirit of Truth, He said in verse 17 of John chapter 14, "For He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you." Shall be in you. That's why Paul would write in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." And what is this mystery? He describes this mystery as having been hid from ages and generations. What is this ministry? It's seven words. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And just so we can't miss it, just so we can't miss the message, the Spirit of God has Paul write in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." So when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we get a new name, Bethel, the house of God, the abode of God. And we become just like this place. We are a person. This place has two names. We become a person with two names. We still have the name Luz because we still have this old nut-hard, stubborn nature that's willfully determined at every turn to go against what is right. This nature that persists in loving and doing what's wrong. We still have the name Luz, but now we have a new name, Bethel, the house of God, because our body is now the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. And the Holy Spirit uses language here concerning Luz. And the language that he uses and the message that it preaches, I think, is just incredible. It's just precious to look at it and to think about it and see how he's written this book. It's a thought that I can't even get my mind around. But I've been excited about it now for the last 24 or so hours. But it's a thought that the Lord can teach to our hearts. And that's what we want him to do. I want you to turn back, because I want us to see this language. Turn back again to Genesis chapter 28. And I want us to look again at verse 19. And if you mark your Bible, then I would encourage you to mark it. Look at Genesis 28 and verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. The words that we want to notice here are the words, the name of that city was called Luz at the first. Now, turn back to where we started tonight in Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. And look at verse 23. And the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. The words that we want to notice here in Judges are the words, the name of that city was called Luz at the first. That's in Genesis 28:19. The words that we want to notice here, the words in this parentheses. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And particularly, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, we want to notice the word before. And we want to, at least in our minds, we want to lay these two verses side by side. Because when we do, we have the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And then we have the name of the city before was Luz. Now somebody says, well, I don't really see any difference in that wording. And it may be a fine point, but I believe it's a point worth thinking about. Because the Spirit of God, I believe, is drawing our attention to a difference between the wording of these two verses. And what is the difference? The difference is not Luz. It's still the same. The difference is the new name, Bethel, the house of God. And here in this wording, the Spirit of God is teaching us here in the Old Testament what it means to be in Christ. You see, at the first, our name was Luz. But when we get saved, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it can be said of us that the name of the city before was Luz. And it's like that because we have a new name, Bethel, the house of God. We now have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the practical manifestation of that is what Paul wrote about himself. And it's true of us if we're saved. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1:13 of himself, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. What's Paul saying? The name of my life before was Luz. But the name of my life now is Bethel. And the reason is because now in Christ Jesus, that's Bethel. The house of God, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, Luz at the first, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 about those in that church who were fornicators and idolaters and adulterers and effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind and thieves and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. Those are the names. Those are the manifestations of what it means to have the name Luz at the first. And then he says to them and to us, and this is glorious, and such were some of you. The name of the city before was Luz. And what is the change? What is the difference between Luz at the first and the name of the city before was Luz? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's the difference. Bethel, the house of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you are saved, you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. That's Bethel, the house of God. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That's Luz at the first. Behold, all things are become new. The name of the city before was Luz. We're a new creature in Christ. A new creature in Christ. It's what it means to be saved. I think these are such amazing verses. Genesis 28 and verse 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And then Judges chapter 1 and verse 23. And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the Spirit of God has written them this way to confront us with a question. How many names do we have? How many names do we have tonight? Do we have just one name? Is the name of the city of our life called Luz as it was at the first? Or do we have two names? Is our name Bethel? Because we are the house of God. Yes, we still have the old nature. But now we can say the name of the city before was Luz. I have a new name. I have a new name. And it's written down in glory. My sins are forgiven and I'm bound for heaven. I'm a new creature in Christ. Can you say that tonight? If you can't, you need to come to Luz. You need to come to Luz and take your place as you are. And take your place as a sinner. That's what you are. And repent. Turn to God from your sin. And trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He'll give you a new name. Bethel. House of God. And He'll come and He will take up His abode in you. Tremendous verses here that the Lord wants to teach us a very important lesson. And what we don't have time to talk about tonight, Lord willing, we'll talk about it next time, is the results of being a two-named person. The result is a battle. And we're going to see that battle, and we're going to see how to have victory in that battle. And we're going to see how Joseph's failure in the second generation, failure in dealing with Bethel, failure to take Bethel, and failure to deal with Luz is going to have far-reaching consequences in the nation of Israel. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this amazing book. We thank you for the riches that are here. And we thank you that out of your riches of your word, you feed us. You bring things new. You bring things old. You constantly bring before us the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How he could love people who are from Luz at the first, who are born into this world delighting in what's wrong, willfully ignoring the truth, taking great pleasure in our sin and in our iniquity. And yet you love us, you seek us. And when we're willing to come to Luz, when we're willing to come as we are and where we are, and trust you as our Savior, you wash us from our sin in your own blood, and you give us a new name, Bethel. And you come and you live in us. What an amazing thought. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We pray that you would help us to think about these things and that you would use them in our lives, that we might have the evidence of the new life in our lives each day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.